normal person. We deserve every right to stay in this city and to live peacefully.
And Sterling, how are you keeping safe? I see you've got a mask that you've pulled down just for this interview. How are folks staying safe in this last 10 seconds?
Yes, we have regular testing. We have PPE. We have hand washing. We have hand sanitizer. We have a medic tent. We care about everybody in this community cares about each other.
It might shock people to know the CDC recommendation is that unhoused people not be moved from encampments like yours. 5 seconds, Sterling.
Of course, yes. And Philadelphia has rejected that, has told us that is one man's opinion. We have that on video.
Sterling Johnson, I want to thank you for being with us, organizer with Black and Brown Workers Cooperative in Philadelphia, spokesperson for Philadelphia Housing Action. That does it for our show. Wear a mask, stay safe, and save lives. I'm Amy Goodman. Thanks for joining us.
Portland.
It is KBOO Portland. It's 8 a.m. on a Friday morning. It's time to bridge that gap because girls are powerful.
Girls, we run this.
Good morning, Portland. You're listening to KBOO Portland 90.7 on your FM dial. I'm Tammy, and on the line with me is the vivacious and fantastically charming Althea Billings. How are you, Althea?
Hello, hello. I love when I get new adjectives.
You're welcome.
Vivacious is an exciting one.
Yeah, it is. And you are vivacious. This is Thank you. The gap. You can mind it. You can bridge it, but like it or not, we're going to be here. How's it going, Sonia?
Rocking it, as always.
Awesome. Thank you. As always. So we're here on another fantastic Friday. Try to think of another F word, but couldn't think of an alliteration. And we are going to be talking about I guess it's not brand new, but the boycott on Goya products, or hashtag go away. I like that. That's cute. Althea, any thoughts? Any comments on that beautiful hashtag?
I mean, wordplay in the hashtags is fun. It's more of a written joke, though. You know, Goya away, you know, like it's not, doesn't quite, you know, hit the same nerve. But a little primer for folks who are potentially not aware, Goya is a very popular food supplier. You've probably seen their beans. And this week, the CEO of Goya gave a speech basically endorsing President Trump, saying that he's a great guy, saying that he's done great stuff. And as a result, people are boycotting Goya products. And so that, you know, that's sort of, I mean, it's a pattern that is not necessarily new, which is, hey, here's this thing that isn't usually political in the eyes of most people, and suddenly in endorsing President Trump, it becomes political, and then sort of the pushback against that. But the rub, I guess you could say, is that Goya is a immigrant company. Like, it was started by a family of immigrants, and it is like the line of products that it has are used really extensively by Latinx households and in, you know, like Central and South American cooking, at least in the U.S., and it's very affordable. So kind of the connection of, like, you know, Goya is this brand, this is who they serve, and then, you know, turn around your CEO who has become enriched off of that community. This is what he's saying about the president, who has, you know, this history. And it's not even like a law, like it's a very recent history of saying very derogatory things about people from various Central and South American countries who immigrate to the U.S.
Yeah, and it's, so that's what makes it kind of like a layered thing, where you start off with something that isn't political, and that's exactly why it did become political. And it seems as though whenever anything, anyone is aligned with the administration, it's as though they become aligned with something that's very vocally, like that's very vocal against a lot of people, you know what I mean? So it's because we have a couple of clips, but in one of the clips you'll hear that the CEO of Goya actually was also good things with Michelle Obama when Michelle Obama had the fighting obesity campaign for kids and, like, you know, teaching about eating healthy and trying to fight food deserts and stuff. They also were, you know, were aligned and worked together then. So it's kind of I don't know, it's interesting that it's, you know, is the business just is what you care about at the end of the day, or is there an actual, like, ethos, or I don't know what's the word I'm looking for, all right, ethics that go with with what you choose to do. But here is the, and you called it a, what do you say, endorsement of Trump. It's a little bit more of an endorsement. It actually sounds pretty creepy and cringy, and we have the clip. Sonia, if you want to go ahead and play it, and we'll be right back.
Anna Navarro, you are never one to mince words. You say Mr. Unanue is acting as, quote...
Sorry?
The other one.
The other quote. Oh, I see. Hold on. Live radio.
Yay! Live radio.
It's such a blessing.
You got a taste of a clip.
To be here in the greatest country in the world, the most prosperous country in the world, and we continue to grow. And that's what we're here to do today. Our company was founded in 1936 by my grandfather, who left Spain at only 18 years old. Did not know where he was heading, but he was heading and looking for opportunity and prosperity, and he found it in this great country. Today, our company is a multi-billion dollar company with thousands of employees and with facilities all around the globe. We have a tremendous group of what we call La Gran Familia Goya, the Goya family, the great Goya family. And these are people, I told the president earlier, we haven't gone back to work, we never stopped working. Because when I asked our group, our family, this is gonna be a tough thing. They said, look, Bob, if we don't do it, nobody will. And they stood up and they worked, and we continue to work day and night to provide much needed food and nutrition to this country. Today, it gives me great honor. And by the way, we're all truly blessed at the same time to have a leader like President Trump, who is a builder. And that's what my grandfather did. He came to this country to build, to grow, to prosper. And so we have an incredible builder, and we pray. We pray for our leadership, our president, and we pray for our country that we will continue to prosper and to grow.
Growing and prospering, building and praying. There was a lot of worshiping towards the end there. I don't know. To me, it really just came off kind of odd, and had a lot of, like, this. What do you call it? What's the name for it? Like
Stockholm syndrome. Right?
Oh boy.
I guess there is a bit of a vibe, like he might have. Yeah, I could see some sort of, like, I am terrified. This is, like, maybe blinking a code or something. But it just sounded very odd. And the way that there's, I mean, building and growing and praying, that's all I heard. It was very odd, and I can definitely understand, like, the outbreak of people, or the outcry of people, just confused and felt, you know, kind of hurt from, you know, you said that you call this like a family, and yet this is a person that separates families and puts the weakest members of the, you know, the family in jails and prisons and concentration camps. So what are you doing, you know?
Well, he did say that today their company is a huge, like, multi-billion-dollar concern. And so maybe that's playing something into it. There could be some class interests, you know, kind of overwhelming other considerations.
Right.
Absolutely. I think that that's, you know, there's some sort of, I mean, is he being financially held hostage? You know, is there like some sort of, you know, I
would think more on the lines of tax cuts for large corporations, keeping more of that wealth, thanks to Trump and some of the GOP. I know that, like, the Goya president was sort of surprised at the backlash, and I mean, obviously chafed against it because now he's got his economic concerns wrapped up in it. But I can feel what, like, his defense is. You know, it's like, oh, it's just an opinion. I'm not allowed to have my own opinion. I'm not allowed to support the president. I supported our last president. Like, what's the problem? And it's this distinction of that they're, like, the freedom of speech is to protect you from the government telling you what you can and can't say. And some opinions are different, that, like, qualitatively different than other ones, right? Like, if the president of, or the president or CEO of Goya comes out and is like, black beans are superior than pinto beans, like,
well, that is true.
Beans can suck it. If that was his, like, official stance, that's an opinion. You can think that, and that doesn't, like, have a real material impact on people or make assumptions about, you know, different groups' humanity or their ability to support themselves or not be attacked or put in cages or harassed by immigration services. So it's a little bit different, you know. It's not like there's a whole story behind why you might not support President Trump, given where your interests lie, which is, like, with a lot of Latinx communities who use a lot of your products. It's just one of those things that I feel gets brought up a lot in, like, defending the president. It's like, oh, it's an opinion. He can't have an opinion about stuff. It's like, oh, he said a wrong word. He can't make a flub. And it's like, well, you know, I mean, he can, but it's not wrong to want a president who doesn't do that. It's not wrong to want a president that doesn't, like, pose with cans of beans. Like,
That was going to be my next question. Did you see the photo op?
There was a couple
photo op with them holding, I don't think anyone in that family ever even held a tin can of food. Like, they seem like they did not know what to do with this. Am I holding this? Is this it? I'm looking at this right? It was just looks.
And you guys
awkward.
Just sort of bite into it, huh?
You just peel it?
In there to try to peel it back? Is that how you open it? What are the ridges for? Are you rolling it on the ground? I'm kind of confused here. Just hold it up. Just hold it up and stand against the hotel wall. Okay.
Put this in the microwave. No, just kidding. Do not put tin cans in the microwave. That was just
please
a joke.
Please don't.
The photo op was pretty embarrassing. I guess whatever, you know, I don't know, it just, they can do so much wrong. But the cry, AOC was pissed. I'll tell you what, said, I'm not having this. I'm not using any of this stuff anymore. And there was a lot of stuff on social media about people just throwing away their food, their Goya products, which I think that there are a lot of options of donating food instead of tossing it out. While that makes a big statement and might seem like, oh, a big deal, there's a lot of people starving probably in your neighborhood. So that's an option, is to donate it instead of showing it out, I think, although, yeah, people are not responding very well to this. But I do agree with you. He's got a right. He can say whatever he wants. He can say whatever he wants. If he wants to endorse, if he wants to be ridiculous and completely out of touch with his consumer base, that's fine. But his consumer base also has the right to.
There we are.
Right. They're not attacking him.
No, they're
saying mean things on Twitter and throwing out your product. They should be donating it or not, like buying your competitor's product, buying store brand now, like that.
Yeah.
You don't get to cry wolf about. I mean, I guess confused metaphor. You don't get to say that you're being persecuted when these are completely like legal means of expressing frustration. And maybe that, you know, maybe the economic protest changes his calculus of whether or not it's worth supporting this person that your consumer base, that like attacks your consumer base.
I wonder how
he
much
also
of this...
could have not said anything.
Exactly. He should have gone the Biden way. Just don't say anything until you absolutely have to. And then when you do, you're going to mess up hardcore.
Well, and then now we're in a situation, and we didn't touch on this yet. Like, the president can't be promoting companies. You can't promote a particular company. You can't say this is your economic theory that you don't, you hands off. We shouldn't touch the economy. Let's free market. Let it do what it wants. And then pick up Goya and have the president. You can't. That.
It
I know that's not
like
the
like,
most concerning thing, but like, hey, huh?
It feels very much like there is an upcoming like Hunger Games situation that might happen. They're like, yeah, get used to this. Because remember when, what was it? And I forgot. It was, it's not Brazil. In Puerto Rico, in the hurricane, throwing out, what was it, toilet paper or throwing paper towels?
Paper towels.
Like,
yeah.
You get one and you get one and you get. Are you kidding me? Is that what's going to happen next? Is we're going to get Goya cans chucked at our heads? Like, when we're there saying we need justice, we need peace, we need economic stability, we need you to listen? I hope not. But, you know, I realize we didn't give out the number, and if you, the listener, would like to join in, chime in on this conversation, you can do that. You can call in 503-231-8187. That is hotline. Excuse me, that is the air room number. And, yeah, you're listening to The Gap. I'm Tammy. On the line with me is Diva Vayner, Celsia. And,
hello.
In studio is Sonia. How's it going?
Also, hello.
Hello.
I'm
thinking of Trump.
Wait, I wanted to say one thing.
Goya beans. Go for it.
Trump chucking goya beans. I'm just thinking about, like, dystopian movies. And I don't want to overuse the point of like, oh, we're in the bad timeline, things bad that happened here. But like, in a lot of those movies, there's like one overarching brand. You know, like in Wall-E, there's like one brand that owns everything, and the government is like, hey, here's the brand. Like, eat this. This is what it is. Even in like Futurama, there's like the government endorsed. You know,
even in what's that
product?
Oh yeah. Soylent Green.
We're gonna get called about Soylent Green, I'm sure.
There actually are products called Soylent now. It's
I saw that. I was very. I'm like you. I don't think you've maybe seen the movie. This is really gross.
It's tongue in cheek, but
it's,
oh, it's all the parts. It's not just tongues and cheeks. It's all of them.
Not just. Spoiler. Just kidding. So, like I mentioned,
that's a movie that's been out for a long time.
It has been out for a long time, but you don't know, you know. So
we're going to talk about Soylent Green.
I just wanted to also mention, and then we can get back to the Goya scandal because I do have some more clips for that. I wanted to announce that Kanye West did drop out of the race officially. So just a round of applause. It's okay. Did get a lot of backlash and did stir up a lot of unnecessary turbulence within, you know, communities. You know, so I'm glad that that's over with and done with. Is he going to have a new album coming out soon? Probably. You know, is that why he did this for? I don't know. But he's out. So, I mean, I'm not going to say it was personal responsibility because of our episode last week, but who knows? Maybe Kanye is listening, and we spurred little natural emotions there.
We're gonna count it in the win column regardless.
Well, you know, girls are powerful.
Thank you. So, speaking of powerful women, Ana Navarro, who is a political commentator from CNN, she was interviewed about her commentary about the situation, and she's based out of Miami. So there is and she touches about a little bit how there's, you know, there are different communities. It's like not all Latina communities are the same, obviously, because each community, each person is an individual, but there is a general consensus, at least within her circles, and so this is what she has to say.
Oh boy, I love this player.
You are never one to mince words. You say Mr. Unanue is acting as, quote, a prop for a guy who puts brown children in cages. Ooh. Tell me more.
That's right. Look, first of all, I think Goya is a great family immigrant story. I've known them to be good corporate citizens. But this really strikes at a wound. This is pouring salt into the wound of a Latino community that is his consumer base, that is most of his customers. And it's most Latinos, not all, particularly here in Miami, not all, but most Latinos feel that we have been harassed, discriminated, made a target of division, made a target of demonization by this administration. Brown children have been put in cages. The deaths of Puerto Ricans have been denied. He threw paper towels at them. He called Mexicans criminals and rapists. He said people from El Salvador were coming from. So it's been one thing after the other. So when most of your consumer base is that Latino community that the majority of feel, accosted and harassed and discriminated by Trump, and you go and call this and say, God bless this guy and bless us for having this builder. Builder of what? Builder of a wall? Now, by the same token, I will tell you, I believe in freedom of expression. I believe in political freedom. I think Mr. Unanue has all the right in the world to his political preference and his political expression.
Well, let me jump in. Hold that thought. Hold on, because I do want to get this in. This is what he said, because he's not backing down, right? So this is what he said this morning on Fox News. Let me roll this.
It's suppression of speech. You're allowed to talk good or to praise one president, but you're not allowed, when I was called to be part of this commission to aid in economic and educational prosperity, and you make a positive comment, all of a sudden, that's not acceptable. If you're called by the President of the United States, you're gonna say, no, I'm sorry, I'm busy, no thank you. I didn't say that to the Obamas, and I didn't say that to President Trump.
He's saying that because he was invited by Mrs. Obama, as part of her health initiative to come to the Obama White House, and he's making the point, you heard him, it's President Trump now. Does he have a point?
Not all Latinos are the same, and not all presidents are the same. I think he could have said that about George W. Bush or George Herbert Walker Bush or Barack Obama or Bill Clinton. I don't remember any of them calling immigrants coming from the Southern Hemisphere or the Western Hemisphere, calling them invaders. I don't remember the demonization of immigrants the same way. So it's not apples to apples. It's not, tomate a tomate. These are very different things. And look, one thing because people are saying he's got a right to his opinion. And I believe that. I strongly believe that. But if you believe he's got a right to his opinion and to politically express himself, you also have got to believe that his consumers have the same exact right. So do not expect a community that feels victimized by Donald Trump and attacked by Donald Trump constantly, and that is your loyal consumer base, not to react and feel hurt when they see you praising that person. Actions have consequences.
That is Ana Navarro, political commentator from CNN, talking about the the just really misfortunate decision that Goya CEO Unaye, I think Robert's first name, did when he went in the Rose Garden, I think, and praised Trump as a builder. And he said builder like five times or like six times. So as you can hear, there's a lot of outrage there. And I'm getting canceled. Remember, we did talk about cancel culture a little while ago, and this is really like a prime example of how something like this happens, and then the power of, you know, social media, from AOC going on social media to, you know, new social media sites, Twitter, you know, Goya canceled or hashtag Goya away, which is tough to say, but looks better on paper. And if you, the listener, have any thoughts, comments, you can call 503-231-8187. So do we have any callers yet?
Not yet. Those lines are open, 503-231-8187. And to maybe help prime the pump a little, I stick with the notion this so-called cancel culture is not a thing. This is the free market. This is freedom of speech. This is people speaking out using, as Ms. Navarro said, they have the exact same freedom to speak out as Mr. Unaye has. You know, we can say, hey, we don't like what this guy said, and this is what we're going to do about it. You know, this is the people organizing, and, you know, there it is. You know, he said his thing. Other people say their thing. And on the whole, not all immigrant communities are the same. It's not like a monolithic block. And I think you mentioned Ms. Navarro is in Miami. Is that right?
Mm-hmm.
All right. Now, you talk about who's immigrating from where and why. You know, you're talking about El Salvador and a lot of Central and South American migrants. It's they're fleeing fascist death squads because they're suspected of being involved with pro-worker organizing. Well, that's a very different kind of person than someone who from Cuba who flees a communist government because they are because they're wealthy plutocrats.
And I think, you know, I'd like to mention just on top of because I think some people might wonder, well, how can someone who is an immigrant be supporting this person who is putting people who literally look like him, you know, in cages? And, you know, as you know, a person who comes from an immigrant family, and thusly, I know a lot of other immigrants and immigrant families, there's a lot of, you know, conservative views in immigrant families and communities. And, you know, it makes, especially when you bring religion into it, and again, that pandering of bless, builder, bless, let's pray, it sticks, it resonates with people, with a larger crowd than just, like, honestly, like, white folks, you know, or, like, what people generally think of when they think of Trump supporters. There are, you know, Trump supporters come in all different, you know, unfortunately, and so they're also not, you know, they're not all the same. And, you know, I've seen it, you know, personally, where I'm like, why are you saying this stuff? This makes no sense. And then I realize, oh, like, this strict, you know, conservative views that these people have actually kind of align really closely with, like, with you and your values, because, you know, it is what it is. So it's not, like, too far-fetched that people, especially once they are rich, you know, that people would align themselves with the values that this administration has showed, which, you know, to us, we see, okay, you're violating basic human rights, but to them, you know, maybe they're seeing more like of the tax breaks and, you know, ignoring the human rights violations that happen every day.
Right.
Yeah.
And there's one thing I would like to point out about, like, the American political system is that our political parties have regrouped over the past century on matters of, like, economic importance and matters of social importance. And so, like, you see with the GOP, they have conservative social values and what would be called, in economic terms, liberal, like economic. They want a free market, right? And the Democrats favor more liberal social values and a market that has more regulation. But the pairing of those things for either party isn't, like, inherent. That, like, in other political systems around the globe, those kinds of issues aren't necessarily grouped together. Mm-hmm. And so, as Tammy and Sonia very aptly pointed out, immigrant families, you know, people that, whatever part of the world you're from, people from more religious backgrounds, would probably tend to align more with conservative social values. But what we haven't really seen on a large scale is that immigrants are actually aligning with the Republican Party because that economic piece isn't there, but also because of racism. Because the way that, you know, Republicans treat opportunity in this country and demonizing immigrants, no matter what part of the world you're from, and the president has in the past differentiated which countries he thinks are S-holes and which ones he doesn't. So, like, it's interesting to think about that, like, you know, Republicans or conservatives could have a really much broader support, base of support, if they could get away from racialized, white supremacist policies.
Yeah.
And trying to enforce that, trying to, like, here's one thought. If they stopped, if they got rid of the idea of, like, English as the national language, which hasn't been, like, a major point of debate in some time, but, like, if they supported ESL curriculum, you might see something really dramatic happen in terms of where those allegiances shift. And I think there's also, like, discontent from, you know, people of color and immigrant communities, that there's a sort of idea that they will always be lumped in with Democrats because Democrats are not working against them in the same way that Republicans are. And I saw something, this is, like, a little bit tangential, but I saw something interesting today that was talking about voting, and, like, specifically voting for president, that, like, voting for, and I think it confuses people, but, like, voting for president isn't like getting married. You're not looking for the perfect one that you could be happy with forever. Voting is like riding the bus. Like, you take the bus that gets you closest to where you want to go.
Hey, I like that. You said it.
I just thought that was, like, an interesting way of putting it, because, I mean, people really do, like, chafe against the idea, especially, like, progressives, about, like, I don't really want to vote for Joe Biden. That doesn't make me feel happy and affirmed. Well, and sometimes you do get an election where you're like, this is the decision, and I feel really good about it, and I really support this person, and I back them 100%. But sometimes you gotta get on the bus, you know? Sometimes it doesn't go right to your destination.
Sometimes the only bus is available. Sometimes the only buses available are the 12 and the 35, and you're trying to get to Expo Center. So for all you non-TriMet users, neither of those lines goes anywhere near Expo Center. They actually go the opposite direction.
You're going to be late to the Expo Center, I can tell you that much. I wanted to touch on what you said about if both both parties stopped pandering to their basic white supremacist values and roots, then, you know, the whole idea of integration, you know, wouldn't be so, how could I, like, so prioritized, right? Which seems to be in all formats, all ways, you know, like you just mentioned, how there is a list of countries where immigrants are banned from, and, you know, there's quote unquote good citizens and bad citizens, or good immigrants and bad immigrants, and you know, the whole idea of, like, you know, pull yourself by the bootstraps and stuff like that is something that, if you see, like, your parent coming to this country as an immigrant, and you see them, like, you know, trying and failing and being discriminated against, and then basically, like, every, like,
you know, Ellis Island story, right? And they pull themselves by the bootstraps and they get a little store and all this and that. And then, you know, then you make a multi-million dollar company. And then, you know, how if you see that happening in your household, you know, I can understand how some people would have the perception that it's easy peasy, lemon squeezy. You could just, anyone can do that, where it's exception, not the rule. And in order,
right,
you know,
confirmation bias.
Yeah, if everyone is exceptional, then everything would, then we wouldn't, you know, then there would be no exceptionality. So it's like, it just makes me sad when I see people that are just so detached and don't even, like, understand that they are, like, perpetuating this notion of white supremacy. Because even when you're, like, you know, I understand him when he said, you know, the president summoned me, and if I know something from watching The West Wing and all those political dramas, is that if you get summoned, you gotta go.
No, you don't.
Right.
What do you mean, no, you don't? So you're telling me that
you don't have to. That's a choice you make.
Oh my God! I thought it was like one of the. It's like a choice you make. Wink, wink, or else.
I don't know.
I mean,
maybe that's how that guy sees it. If Mr. Trump wanted me to, like, come to the White House and, like, wave my pink, white, and blue flag, you know, with next to him, I'd tell him where to stick it.
Right. You see a lot of those, you know, like,
I'd love to hear that phone call.
When they win, they're like, hey, come to the White House. And they're like, hey, no.
I mean, after we saw that debacle of being fed, of giving athletes McDonald's on silver plates, I think people are calling, you know.
Oh, my God. That's right. Oh, boy.
It feels like it was so long ago, right?
I reinforce, it's okay to want a president that doesn't do that. I feel like I'm also saying it to myself because I'm like, it's okay to, like, not like that. It's okay to want a little bit more, you know? Like, the president is not supposed to be just anybody. They're supposed to have a particular set of skills.
Oh,
And whether that's even just being able to interpret and...
read the room,
you know, impart information, sure being able to, like, believe people when they say, hey, this is the way a hurricane is going, and not try to rewrite that. Bare minimum stuff, you know.
It's like that game Telephone, you know, where it starts off saying one thing and then you're like, how did this happen? Like, we could do better,
it's like a really long game. It's like a mile-long game of telephone, but it's just one person, one advisor trying to tell President Trump what's happening.
Well, you know, I wanted to go back a little bit to, or, like, try to bring a little, like, rationale to it. Like, how much of it do you think was trying to secure some sort of specific vote for the November election?
I there's a part of me that can see in like the publicity stunt, because it's interesting to me that both Ivanka and the president, like, were either took the initiative or were tapped by somebody in the campaign that you need to pose with Goya products. I don't know that would be something that Goya would really ask for, but I can, like, in my brain, I can hear, like, you know, people who are MAGA and, like, love to see the president just sort of, like, doing contrarian things, being like, oh, like, Trump, like, owned all of these, like, liberal snowflakes with beans? Like, he ate beans from a can. Like, that'll show you, stupid Democrats. Like, what? I can see the headline, but it's a little bizarre, I think. I don't know who exactly it's appealing to, other than the people who, like, endorse him and who are riled up by controversy, riled up by people opposing him. That there might not be, you know, Donald Trump in a vacuum, there might not be a whole lot to like about him unless he's fighting with somebody.
There is something, it's like, it's how can you like a villain if he's not doing something villainous, right? Mm. Then you just kind of, then you really have time to look at the situation and like reassess it, you know? It's like, ooh, wait a minute. Like, oh, wait a second, there he is.
Yeah, people like Darth Vader because he can choke people from a distance.
Darth Vader also has theme music when they walk into the room.
So yeah, he's like got awesome theme music. He can choke people from a distance. He's a devil and a half with a lightsaber. I saw somebody saying like it's Trump's fans. I mean, you mentioned like, oh, is something like eat beans from a can to own the libs. That's what it's about. You know, it's people don't like Trump so much as they like to see him harming people they don't like.
Mm. And he's willing to do it in a more bold-faced way, very obviously.
And to use a position of power to do it. And to put the power of that position behind doing that. It's putting it, the official imprimatur on their own hate.
That's just a. I feel like I just got a PhD in hate, and I don't get it. I mean, of course I get it. There's an election coming up, and in order to, you know, get people to feel anything anymore, and let's not mention distracted, absolutely distracted by the way that this government has failed every single living creature on this planet, and you know, in this country. When it comes to the pandemic, that people are still dying and, you know, getting sick. And just recently, you know, the person who's in charge of the free world, you know, said, oh yeah, masks are fine. Like, this has been, why didn't you say this like months ago? Like, why didn't you say this months ago before, like I heard on the Cable Evening News last night, before people decided to, you know, in Medford, just go out and march against masks without masks. Like, you can't even make it up. You cannot make this up.
Right, and it's also that it's not even, like, one issue that it's like, hey, the president kind of flubbed this thing. Better not, like, endorse him, the CEO of Goya. You could be, even just pandemic alone, or get rid of the pandemic, still probably, like, would not resonate with your consumer base.
Sonia,
did you have something to say?
Go ahead.
I believe we have. I believe David has something to say.
Oh, hey. Yeah, hi. Are you there?
Hey, David.
Yeah, morning. Yeah, I wanted to raise. I heard you talking about the Kova product line, and I'm not sure if you're also familiar with it, but Ivanka got in basically below the ground floor. She got the copyright or the trademark on her coffin line. Are you familiar with Ivanka coffins?
Coffins like for the dead?
Yeah, it was from a year.
I've never heard of that.
Two summers ago.
So she has a coffin line right during a pandemic.
Below the ground floor, I get it.
Wow.
But it's dead serious. They, in the middle of the... you remember he was doing the soy tariffs and all of the farmers in America were blowing their brains out because especially the soy farmers, they did the tariffs against soy and China immediately stopped paying for soy. And the price of soybeans went from $11 a bushel down to $7 a bushel.
Sure.
And all of these soy farmers were dying, blowing their brains out. Suicide rate was insane. And at that very time, Trump went over to a trade summit, and Ivanka ended up with, I think it was 16 different trademarks while the tariffs were going on. So everybody in the rest of the world was denied a trade with China except for Ivanka, and those coffin lines were part of it. And it's you just do a quick Google search of Ivanka coffins, and you'll find it. But the other thing I was going to raise, I noticed that I'm calling you from San Francisco, and I'm a big fan of history. And one of the creepy things that Hitler did when he came to power was to, you know, he had his Gestapo, he had his brown shirts, he had, you know, black shirts were the Gestapo, but he had all of these secret police kind of things, and they were basically organized crime, and they would, you know, stick their nose under the tent of local police departments. So I noticed that Homeland Security was the Homeland Security director up in Portland yesterday? Or day before? Yeah. Yeah, it just smells right like that. So I would caution, you know, if you've got the mayor listening and city councilmen and especially the towns and counties surrounding, these Homeland Security creeps are going to try to, you know, blackmail, extort, strong arm. They'll do whatever they can to get a piece of the budget of the local and to force the local cops to obey, you know, the Gestapo, say. And so, you know, keep your eyes out for that. That's one of the things I've been recommending for the defunding the police angle. Is there is a, and this is something that should go on both sides of the aisle, you know, Republicans, Democrats, Libertarians, Greens, should all agree that a company called Carbyne, C-A-R-B-Y-N-E, should be taken out of police budgets. And Carbyne was actually funded by Jeffrey Epstein. And Jeffrey Epstein, if you can, you know, you've got those cameras, the babysitting cameras that you put in your house, your doorbell cameras. Jeffrey Epstein designed the software for that, and he designed a software for the 911 systems of police and fire departments. And so there are many major cities that use this Carbyne. And so I'm urging, you know, to keep on forward motion about this dismantling corrupt police departments is to dismantle the Carbyne angle. Let's defund these creeps in Homeland Security. Let's defund, you know, the Jeffrey Epstein blackmail, extortion, strong arm, you know, corrupt government angle. Because this Carbyne, there are a lot of articles about how they're, you know, they've got backdoor, trapdoors.
Okay, you've been quite clear about that, David. Did you have anything else about today's topic?
Oh, no, I was.
Okay, thank you.
Thanks, David. I wanted to give a little bit of context for listeners about some of the stuff that he said. The feds have been now involved in trying to suppress protests in Portland and have definitely ratcheted up the intensity of that law enforcement response. This week, a protester was shot in the head with some kind of munition. Again, it still hasn't been clarified by a federal officer. He's alive, but that is far more severe than, you know, tear gas and that kind of thing. And that the Department of Homeland Security had said came to Portland and said some pretty harsh is probably undercutting it somewhat, characterizing the protests in Portland against police brutality and racial injustice as like violent anarchists who are trying to take down the government, and that local police have been far too soft on them and that they need to be quelled immediately. It's worth a Google. While David was talking, I did look up the Ivanka coffin things.
It's, oh yeah, I googled that immediately.
One of 13 trademarks that she holds in China back in 2018. So she hasn't done anything with the coffin trademark. She also has it for like baby food and stuff like that in China, but it in terms of like the trade situation at that time that she held those trademarks is definitely questionable and bizarre. I'll say it. Why do you have a coffin thing?
Well, then
China, that's kind of weird.
We've got stakes, right? Stakes, coffin, casino, the White House. Take the pick.
One stop shop. Yeah.
One stop shop.
Birth to death. There you go.
I do want to thank David for that, those comments. One conversation that is you know, a main focus about, you know, when it comes to defunding and dismantling, you know, the oppressive enforcement policing system, at least in the Portland area, is looking at the different contracts that the Bureau has, as well as things like the union and how that, I mean, you know, it's anyone who is unionized can understand that it's a very fickle and very weird and kind of like unstable without too much checks and balances when it comes to police unions, because of the fact that they are like representing city, like people who are patrolling and can enforce the law in violent and most of the time deadly ways, especially when it comes to brown and black people, as we can see. So that, you know, contracts with Carbine, you know, and different contracts with, what is it, like G2S or something, or GS2, those are all, you know, being looked at, and with, as you know, people are still marching, like you say, they're still out there saying what they want, saying what we need to make this a better, more peaceful and safer society. So those things are definitely on the table, and that's a good remark when it comes to defunding, because it can sound like such an overreach, you know, like such an over, like extended kind of goal, but when you start looking at it, you're like, okay, contracts, you know, you can negotiate it or back away from them. Okay, unions, let's talk, you know, so that's a good point. Yeah. Thank you, David.
And I also wanted to mention one thing, that it's not just like one company that is, you know, sharing like video information from like stoplight cameras and 911 calls and socializing all of that information. It's also like driver's license registries. There was a really good New York Times article investigation in Southwest Washington looking at how basically ICE exploited state records where the state didn't realize that there was a back door that ICE could get into to try to track down undocumented people in Southwest Washington. And basically they ended up like disappearing people and trying to track them down, and that there's, I think Washington has closed some of those since then, but that kind of information sharing and the way that it can be exploited is definitely disturbing.
Ugh. Terrifying.
Yeah.
Almost as terrifying as the Ivanka coffin. Interesting. It's on the Google. It's their stuff on this on the internet. It's there. I'm just trying
Ivanka
to think of,
and
like,
coffin, Ivanka and beans.
I think I don't understand like where, what, how that would be a good idea, but it goes to show you all the different types of when you're part of the royal family, when you're part of the administration, anything that you do is just I feel like if any other president ever did anything like this as openly, I'm not saying they did it as openly, you know, as this administration is doing, they would be hell to raise. I mean, you know, when the tapes, you know, in the office were subpoenaed for Watergate, I mean, they got them because they're like, of course, yeah, this is for the country, this is for the people, they need to know. But somehow impeachment doesn't work and this doesn't work. Come on, you know, I just don't understand what needs to happen, you know? It baffles me.
So much of it has just become normalized. You know, that it's difficult to find outrage left to exert about certain issues because you have, you know, such a range of things. And some of it like really does happen like behind closed doors, like gutting NEPA, like for environmental protection. Mm-hmm. Like that's really bad. We should be very upset about that. But also, like, the president tweeting bizarre things and things that don't make sense, or retweeting white supremacist videos, but also tweeting Covfefe. Like, that, those are all the same person, and that each of those will derail a different person, and that we can't all be derailed by the same issue. So, maybe in November we will be.
Yeah, remember how the president of America retweeted a white supremacy video on Twitter? Remember that?
I do.
A couple weeks ago. I just want to, you know, emphasize in case maybe someone thought we misspoke, you know, that you misspoke or something. You know, that happened. That's the reality we're living in. And to think. So any other people on the line?
Not at the moment. That line is open, and there's still, like, a few minutes left.
A couple of moments left. If you'd like to call in, it's 503-231-8187, talking about Goya fiasco, debunk of coffins, and, yeah, pretty much that's where we're at. Unbelievable.
One thing we didn't touch on was that I'm sure that there are, like, Trump supporters buying beans in defiance, or, like, buying Goya products in defiance. And I mean, in my mind's eye, it's, like, a very average white dude. And so, like, I'm kind of excited for them to, like, experience, you know, spices, different foodstuffs than they might normally buy.
Could you imagine if you're, like, if you're a cashier and you see someone just, like, buying a bunch of Goya, and you know they know you know. Everyone knows what you're doing.
Mole sauce. Interesting. Okay.
These are pretty strange times, but since you did mention it, can you talk a little bit more about the whole, I guess, conflict of interest and how and why the president is probably not allowed to endorse publicly any type of private business?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, it goes to, so there's, like, specific things in the Constitution that are designed to keep the president from enriching himself. And then there's also aspects of this that are, like, social constructs of, like, the presidential election, the presidential process, one of which is releasing your tax returns, which isn't just to see as maybe it has, you know, in talking about it for so long. It's not at this point to say, like, ooh, like, he's not actually rich, like, what now? It's more to see what are you invested in? Where are your interests at? And have you really divested from all of that stuff? The stuff in the Constitution is called the Emoluments Clause. And I believe there's a couple open investigations into Trump vis-a-vis the Emoluments Clause and the fact that he is not entirely uninvolved in his companies. Like, he gave them to his sons, but that's not the same thing. And then now we're talking about nepotism, not to mention the fact that your daughter and her husband are some of your top advisors.
Can you imagine if anyone else did, like, if Obama did that? That would be, well, I guess it'll be ridiculous because his children were, you know, children, but yeah, proceed.
But, like, part of, you know, the founding of this country, and that, you know, thinking about it, a lot of founding of this country was founded in opposition to the way that the British government ran, right? Which is, like, that the king is personally enriched and literal nepotism by X, Y, or Z. So, like, taxing, putting high taxes on sugar or tea in the colonies, like, those things went to directly benefit the king. And without, when you're trying to create, like, a new government structure, right, there's not all of these, like, years of what kings and queens do and don't do like there was in Britain. There, like, it would be really important to say, like, hey, we're not, like, electing a new king. We're not going to say that the person that gets this job with the consent of the people is going to get to be really rich. And I think, like, nowadays, materially, like, you're a famous person forever. You can do philanthropy tours and sell books and speak, and you'll be fine. Like, it's not a position that, you know, you leave and you're suddenly working 9 to 5 at some regular office job anymore. But
yeah, not going to be like a barista.
That, right, but that the direct line between power and money, that it's been foundational to try to extricate those things, that the president's interests need to be, I'm going to do what's good for the country, not what's good for me. And that's another thing that I've seen, you know, that's been normalized and that's been excused over the past years, was, like, Trump is giving favorable contracts to people that he's worked with in the past, whether it's in Ukraine or in Saudi Arabia, or staying at his own hotel properties. Like, that doesn't seem, it's like, oh, it's like his house. It's,
oh,
like, it's
charging,
not his house.
Charging the Secret Service? Charging the Secret Service?
Yeah. That's money that goes back into his pocket. He charged, and that's taxpayer money is the other thing, is that he's using his resources, which have to be devoted to him because he's the president, to make himself and his family richer, making Secret Service stay at his hotels, and not just like staying in like a room. They had like these like bungalow cottages that were like the most expensive place that they could be staying.
Well, they paid for it, so don't worry about it. You want a bungalow?
We
pay
for it.
I'm not even paying for my own bungalows.
Yeah, exactly. And I want to reinforce that they shouldn't be doing that. That's a thing that, while it has become normalized, is bad. And it's okay to not want a president that will use the power of the office and the responsibility of running a country to personally enrich himself.
It's good for you. It's good for you to want better for yourself. It's good for me.
It really is.
It's good for all of us to want more for ourselves. And on that note, just think of sweet bungalows and, you know, trees just rustling in the wind and birds chirping. Sonia, thank you very much. Althea, thank you. I'm Tammy. This has been The Gap. Hope you all have a great rest of the day.
Thanks.
That's right. This is KBOO Portland. It's creeping up on 9 a.m., at which point we will have...
You're listening to KBOO Portland.
Veterans Voice with your host, Marvin. So stay tuned.